Davis is there. Mark Duncan, you maybe split it into two halves for us, if that's okay.
That's exactly what it was. You know, we didn't start well. Didn't start well at all. And it was a constant theme, particularly the last 2 days. And we spoke to the players how well they start. They've done that in the last five or six games. They've taken it to teams who've got an early lead or they've really put pressure on teams. So we needed to match up in that regard, particularly with their intensity. Obviously, they're fresh. You know, we played a midweek game, but it didn't matter. And I was extremely disappointed with the way we started, particularly giving away another goal from a set piece. You know, we pride ourselves on defending really well. We gave two away against the Wanderers, the first time we've conceded from a set piece or a corner, and we did it again. More importantly was the reaction. And it's one thing I always talk about. You know, throughout a 90-minute game of football, there are going to be moments where, you know, you're up against the wall or things aren't going your way. You know, how do we recover from that? And we didn't do that. So, you know, I wasn't happy that we weren't able to, you know, stick to our guns and be strong and resilient, particularly in the opening 30 minutes, where we knew they were going to come out and do something. But just reward to them and for them, you know, they, you know, absolutely deserved their 2-0 lead at half-time. So it's an area that we need to improve.
Can you summarise your halftime messages for us?
Look, it was, you know, you probably didn't want to be there at halftime. They don't normally do that either, but they needed a bit of a wake-up call. And it wasn't just about, you know, I guess putting my foot down and being a touch louder in terms of my tone. It was also, you know, tactical, and I think by making the change and obviously the movements and the positioning of a couple of other players in that second half certainly worked a treat as far as I was concerned. But that's coaching, that's what you get paid to do as well. You know, it's not just a matter of just going out there and hoping your players work to the best of their ability. These are the moments that coaches get paid, is to change something. And it worked out for us.
So Killian came on and had an impact. I mean, obviously that's what you wanted from making that change. Is that now though a situation where you want to start with him, or I mean, how does it work now? Because I know you've got plan A's and plan B's. What part of the plan is he in?
We'll see. We'll see next week. But it's exactly what I want for my substitutes to come on and make an impact. We knew that he was going to take, you know, not just one but two defenders with him as well. There's going to be a lot of space in and around him, which I wanted, you know, particularly Roy and Willow to occupy, and they did that well. But in terms of Killian, he's just another player. You know, he's come on and he's done really well. He's made, you know, significant impacts in both games that he's come on. But at the same time, we're not going to overcook players. You know, we look after them. It's taken him a bit of time to adjust to the climate and adjust to the long travel as well. We'll see next week. There's a long week now to prepare. And if anything, Piney, it gives me a really good headache. You know, that's the first thing that I thought of as soon as I started walking off the park is these boys have given me a headache now, you know, and it's a good one. And I certainly won't be having any sleepless nights over them. But it'll come down to assessing the opponent next week, and that's Melbourne Victory in Melbourne. And we've gone out there and done a job against them already. So just another really good option, Piney, for us.
Earlier this week, you were mentioning that as part of the process now, the players themselves are leading it and driving it. Were you then a little bit disappointed that maybe that wasn't the case in that first half in terms of actual standing up and fixing it themselves?
Yeah, fixing the mentality, yeah, more so than anything else. You know, like I said, the reactions are important, positive ones, particularly when something negative happens. So, as I said, there's a lot of areas there that I wasn't happy with, and that's one of them. You know, Stevie, you know, puts his hand around him. We've spoken to him a lot about that. Dawley's the same. You know, it's a habit that they had coming here, and we worked tirelessly making sure. And you're talking about a Premier League player who's played over 200 games. You know, every player's got certain habits that you need to try and eradicate. And I expected more from Stevie. You know, that's the first thing I said to him after the game, is that someone of your experience, you need to pick yourself up, dust yourself up extremely. You know, it's important that you do that ASAP. You know, and it's okay when things are going well, you know, but that was the moment where I was looking at him closely, and I expect more from him. But like I said a few weeks ago, when after three losses in a row, you know, some of these things take time. Some come quicker than others, but we'll keep working. We keep working, we keep chipping away until we get that near perfection that we're looking for, right? And so that's just one moment.
If I can take you just to the after final whistle quickly, there was a nice moment when you're walking back the tunnel, had a hell of an ovation from the Yellow Fever. Can you just sum up what that feeling is like for you when you're walking past and you're seeing yourself, not just the transformation on the pitch coming back from 2-0, but what it means to the fans as well?
It means everything to them. You know, when I bought into this, I bought into it wholeheartedly, you know, and the fans were no different. From afar, you've seen just how much pain and hurt, not just the players that have gone through, but there's some really good people in the back office there who work hard, and the coaching staff as well. But these fans, you know, like I said, they've waited a bit of time, and they were patient at the start of the season as well. You know, but I think now they can sense and believe, just as those players in that dressing room believes as well. Obviously, there's a long way to go, and there's a lot of football yet to be played, but you can only take the moments that come your way, and those moments you need to enjoy. And it was good for them. So I was sort of looking up at them and thinking, okay, let's get this guy, get the guys going for a little bit. So I don't normally do that. I'm not normally an emotional or sentimental type, but they deserved it, you know, and it was good to see, you know, like I said, smile on their faces. And it's a proud country, it's a proud city. You know, the football in this country deserves a lot more. You know, it's been kicked from pillar to post. And, you know, we're just a representation of the whole country. It may be the capital, but there's a lot of really good people in this country, you know, football fans. And, you know, Harry sitting at the back there as well, he was a fantastic player, next international. You know, this is for all of them. You know, and what we're trying to do here is for all the football in this country. And that's one of the things that I wrote down, is can you make an impact for everybody, not just this club, you know. And I know there were fractured relationships when I first came here. You know, I was inundated with a lot of information because I'm a pretty curious person. And, you know, I think the most important thing for this football club is the game. And like I said, we've got an opportunity to change things at this club. More importantly, change the game here. I'd love for more ex-players to be involved. That's why I brought Siggy and Paul Eiffel into the football club as well. But like I said, for a long time, you know, living in the other country, you know, we used to look over at New Zealand and sort of look down. You know, one thing I did say to my players was, you know, as Kiwis, be proud of who you are. Get rid of that inferior complex that's been around, that stigma that's been there for a long time. There have been moments, great moments for this country against Australia, but can we get more of them? You know, so there's a bit of a, I wouldn't call it a burden, but I knew what I wanted to try and do at this football club, and sometimes it takes time, and you're going to find hurdles along the way. We've still got a long way to go, Dewey, but like I said, if we can get people believing in this football club, and then, you know, like a good wave, the ripple effect starts coming into the rest of them. I think, you know, one thing we need to do here is be together. It's a small country, you know, Wellington's a small city as well, but if we can get more people, good football people, good people involved in the game, hopefully, you know, not just our football club, but the game, you know, can start to lift. Because I know there's a lot of issues there. You know, I feel for the national team coaches who don't have the money to go and do what they want to do. You know, it's one of the real big reasons why, you know, there's a big focus on the Kiwi players in our team. Not enough gets talked about how well they're going as well. And they're playing week in, week out. And, you know, if we can play our part to help, you know, football in this country, then so be it. I hope so, Phil. I hope so. I mean, we can only do what we can do, you know, and the players get out there. And again, we've bought into making sure that the players get out into the community. You know, and a lot of coaches don't necessarily like that because they want their players protected and rested up and staying at home. But I've, you know, told the players right from the outset that we need to get out there and show them that, you know, we mean business and that we actually care, you know. And, you know, I was quite surprised when I saw less than 10,000 come up on the big screen. I started shaking my head because it felt like there was a lot more than that, you know. And apparently something else changed. Is that right? He went back over 10,000 people. Well, we want more than that, you know. It's we want to continue to build. But there's only so much we can do. I will say this, you know, and we've all experienced in this room, life's a funny old game. And when things are going wrong, it's easy to walk away and not be part of something. But when things are going well, you know, it's important to enjoy the moment and be there as well. You don't want to go, You know, you don't want to be sitting in this stadium in 5 years' time thinking that if only we turned up, if only we gave those players and that support that they really needed, because those fans really, really got behind the players. And they were tired, and I can sense that and see that. But as soon as that first goal went in, it made a huge difference. You know, the record, put aside that for a second, because I don't necessarily work for records, but they are nice along the way. You know, one of the things the players wanted to do this season was create history. And before the game, I told them, you've got the ability to knock off one little piece of history today. And they did that.
Do you feel like that support from the community, really helps the team as well? Getting bigger crowds and seeing the club in a positive light, is that...
I think so. I think the mentality, like I said, not just with football in this country, but just in general. One thing that I've noticed is that very quick to say something negative when things aren't going well. It's unbelievable. It's not at all puppy syndrome either. If someone's doing well, say that. There's nothing wrong with that. I see when something goes well, there are people that are quick to just question it. And bring it down. Why? It tells me more about that human being than somebody else. Are they trying to, make a name for themselves? Why are they like that? I don't get it. It's a mentality thing more than anything else. Not to say that in Australia it's not like that either, because there are enough people who've got a tall puppy syndrome. But if things are going well, why would you be scared to actually say something positive about them? There are too many people here, I feel, that, want to knock something good down. Why? I don't understand it. You've got the All Blacks, an institution. It's something that you should be proud of. But there are so many people out there that are trying to knock them down. I'm thinking to myself, if you want to use it for motivation, that's what I use it for. For every person that tries to knock us down, it's another little piece of or armoury that I can use. But the whole mentality has to change. You've got some fantastic people in this country. I love seeing smiles on faces. I don't know. Maybe that's just the positive nature and positive person in me. I don't know. But there's no reason to be sad. Be proud that Wellington Football Club, or you might be from Auckland or from Palmy or from Hamilton or from I don't know where, right? But you should be sitting back going, I'm glad that this club is doing okay right now, because we're doing it for the whole country. Right? It needs to change. I don't know. At the same time, if things aren't going well, you do what you've got to do. I get that as well. Right? But when things are going okay, get behind these guys. These guys have worked extremely hard. I'd love to see our next home game where, we get 15,000. Why can't we? But you need to get out and support. I understand people on holidays and everything else, but I was walking down Oriental Parade this morning and people were in bikinis and board shorts. Where are they? There's nothing better than walking straight from Beach to Westpac Stadium. It's so close as well, right? I don't know. My message is that you just don't know a good thing until it's gone. Don't be one that says, oh, I should have gone there. I keep telling my players that all the time. Be in the now. Do it while you can. And I think Jura is a great reflection of that, because he's probably almost, I don't know what he's going to do. I know you asked him a question as to, or someone did here, is this your last year? I don't know, but I just keep telling him, don't focus on that. I just want you to focus on the now and be in the moment. Forget about the past, and it doesn't matter about the history. Just enjoy the now. Jeez, I've gone over again, I think,
Just one, Mark. Top 14 is in the next four. Yep. Are the fans playing well enough now to push or beat these teams, or do you think you need to play better?
You only have to look at our record to ask that question. Have any of those top four teams beaten us apart from Melbourne City? And that was Melbourne City when we were in a different type of place altogether. Perth, we took the lead, didn't beat us. Sydney FC, we beat them away from home. Melbourne Victory, we took it all the way, we could have beaten them as well. Melbourne, like I said, Melbourne City is the only one above us, right? Who we've played that have beaten us, but when we're in a completely different part of our progression. We'll take anyone on. We don't fear anyone. It is a tough schedule coming up, but like I said, all I'm thinking about is not the four games. It's Melbourne Victory. That's it.